Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 44th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. My co-hosts are...
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler.
My name is Keegan Wade. You can find me on Twitter at NaGeek14.
And we just want to welcome everyone to the podcast tonight. Thank everyone for the great response so far. Really love reading those reviews on iTunes, and it really helps out with getting that podcast out there to more people, because the more reviews we get, the higher we rank up, and a lot more teachers get to hear the podcast. So as you watch tonight, you also want to tweet using the hashtag EduAllStars, and you can catch all of our previous shows on eduallstars.com/podcast.
And this episode of Edu All Stars is sponsored by GoNoodle. And here at Edu All Stars, we are all for using technology and fun to help students in the classroom. And GoNoodle Brain Breaks are designed to help kids get their wiggles out, refocus the classroom, and stimulate learning in 5 minutes or less. I personally use GoNoodle in my classroom. It's free. It's really easy. My kids love it. It allows them to run, dance, stretch, deep breathing, all these great things. And if you go to our website, eduallstars.com, there is a link on our website that you can use to sign up for your free GoNoodle account today. And we are just really thankful for GoNoodle for sponsoring EduAllStars for this episode.
And we just want to remind you again to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing all the conversation on Twitter and hearing what you guys think, and we love seeing it.
And we would like to welcome tonight's episode. Our guest tonight is John Fritzky, who is the assistant principal at Byram Intermediate in New Jersey. So thanks, John, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Really looking forward to it.
Do you want to go ahead and share your Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's at John Fritzky. That's it.
Tough one.
I know, tough one to remember.
Well, John, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into education.
So for me, I, like some of you guys, had a mother who was a teacher, and so always had that background kind of going on, and didn't really anticipate myself falling into those kind of shoes as a teacher, but kind of in between semesters, I was became an aide for a classroom with disabilities, and since then, I kind of wanted to go that route in education. I kind of saw the purpose more. So from there, I became a special ed teacher for kindergarten through grade 2, and then I kind of got promoted, and I was allowed to go to grade 3, and then I was allowed to become a fifth grade teacher, and spent about 10 years doing that, and this is my first year as an assistant principal in middle school.
So when did you know you were kind of ready to get out of the classroom and get into administration?
Probably about 2 or 3 years ago. I had a lot of ideas that I wanted to share with other teachers, and I felt like I didn't have the time necessarily to communicate with them in the way that they needed me to. Like, I would go into the teacher's room, or I would share ideas with other teachers, and they would be like, that's so great, that sounds awesome, but I don't know how that's going to work in my classroom. And I could never step out of my classroom because you always have those kids with you. So I felt like I had ideas to share, and I didn't have the time to do that. At the same time, I was having people from other districts kind of send people to me to see what was going on in my classroom, so I felt like I wanted to get those messages heard outside of the walls of my classroom.
Do you feel like being in that AP role, you're allowed to do that kind of stuff, or that that's part of your role to be able to share teachers? I know some APs think that, and then they get there, and they're like, man, I don't have time for this.
So yeah.
They work on other things instead. But
I'm totally with you, and I think that's kind of part of the team that you get assigned to, because as an AP, it's kind of like you get your role assigned to you, so it's not always what you want to do. I'm really, really fortunate to be part of a great team where my superintendent and my principal and the tech administrator, we all kind of have a shared vision, and they kind of let me go into, like, I ask to do things, and like, yeah, that sounds great, that sounds awesome, and so I'm winding spending up a lot of times going into classrooms and seeing what's going on, and then talking to teachers afterwards, and hopefully suggesting one or two things that they can find useful. I feel like I'm doing my job best when I'm seeing more as a coach than anything. That's my favorite part of the job.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that.
What has been the biggest lesson you've learned as being an administrator so far?
That I need to listen a lot. I think that I'm lucky to be in a position where there are a lot of really good teachers in my school who have really good questions, and I'm always amazed at the questions that they ask, because for instance, we went to go see another school where they were doing self-paced learning, and it was standards-based, and it was really cool that you could walk into the room and the students, you know, they got their computers or their next assignment, and they got right to work, and they knew exactly what to do. And I thought it was, I was blown away. I'm like, this is totally awesome. And we came back and I met with the teachers, and they would ask really insightful questions. Like, they would say things like, I'm amazed that the students can do this, but I really believe that group work or the collaborative kind of learning is really important for students. And they kind of, that kind of spun my head around, and I thought, like, yeah, that is a really important part of learning. And I didn't think that. I was all part about, I was came in looking for the self-paced and to see how well that would work, and that part worked really well. But I was blown away by, I'm blown away constantly by the questions that the teachers ask that benefit the students and kind of raise the level of learning.
Now, yeah. One thing that I've noticed about you, John, is that you're really passionate about breaking down those walls that exist between either parents and teachers, or teachers and students, or teachers and parents. What are some ways that you're trying to do that?
So when I first took this job, that's, you're absolutely right, Todd. That's one of the things that I wanted to do, was to kind of break down those walls. And I'm lucky enough that I've been surrounded by people who are great at this. Like, I've followed Joe Mazza for a long time, who's unbelievable at it, and Tony Sinanis is unbelievable at it, and Brad Gustafson does a great job as well. So I feel like I'm always standing on the shoulders of other people who have already kind of paved the way for me. So I basically steal their stuff, and I say, like, this is great. I'm going to do this. This is awesome, and it's an easier way for me to do it. So I've done a lot of work with the TouchCast app that I know Tony's done in his school, where we send out weekly newsletters. So I basically call in one student from each grade. We're a 5-8 school, and I bring them down, and I tell them, at the end of the week, you guys are basically going to run the show. So think of what's going on this week in school, and you're going to come back and you're going to tell me two things that you're learning about in school. So on Thursday or Friday, they come in and we sit down together, and they basically, they run the show. They talk into the iPad, they talk about what's going on in their classes, and then we send that out to parents so that parents understand what's going on in school, and it's not like the message is from me. It's what the kids are actually doing and learning in the classroom. So that's one way that I've tried to kind of break down those walls so that parents can actually see what's going on in the classroom.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So, Todd, why don't you hit the we were going to ask about that TouchCast app. Let's segue into that still. Go ahead and go.
Yeah, I know, John, and you and I talked a little bit, and it's funny that you mentioned Tony Sinanis, Brad Gustafson, who are also former Edu All-Star. Our viewers can go and listen to their interviews. Great, great guys that I learn from all the time as well. But I know you told me you were working on a TouchCast with them. What is that about?
So we've connected several times during the year where the three of our schools will connect and we'll have all the students kind of collaborate together. So we've done it before. The last one that Brad and I did was on the book Wonder. I know that I've heard you guys talk about that book, and we absolutely love it.
That book.
Yeah, so it's great for Brad's school because his school is a K-5 school, and my school is a 5-8 school. So it kind of bridges that gap. And we had the students create their own precepts, and then on TouchCast they would talk about the precept and what it means to them, and we'd use the little V apps, and they would pop up kind of above their heads and things like that. We've also done one on Thanksgiving with what we're thankful for. So the students from my school, it's great because our campus is across the street from an elementary school. So the kids at my school came down to the elementary school and kind of interviewed other students about what they're thankful for. And then Tony's school, he had his kids do it. And Brad's school, they had their kids do it. And we all kind of merged it together. And then we sent it out to our communities to also kind of model that message that we need to flatten the walls of our classrooms. That, you know, we do really cool things at our school, but it's easier than ever to connect with other schools. And I'm hoping to model that for my school so that the teachers can see also that this is something that we can do, and it's not an impossibility.
Just a follow up, like, go back and just talk about what TouchCast is and what that app is. I played around with it a little bit, but I kind of got lost in it, and I was like, I just have never picked it back up again. So talk about it.
I appreciate you slowing me down, because sometimes
No worries.
Like, it's TouchCast and everybody uses it. TouchCast is really cool. It's an app where it's basically like its own video editing software in one iPad app. So you can add things like a green screen. You can add kind of scrolling text along the bottom or on the side for the students to read. And there are these things called VApps where you can take a picture or a video and they pop up along the way. So it's like basically a studio, a mini studio for the students to kind of work with. And after I've been doing that with my kids, one of our teachers who's phenomenal, like he's the kind of teacher you throw an app at him or a piece of technology and he runs with it. So he took that and that was his final project for his English class, was the students got together and they made a newscast on the book. So I'm excited to see the teachers use it as well. It's a really great educational tool.
Have you got any other apps that you're kind of partial to? I mean, that you're using around the campus right now, the kind of the kids like?
I know that I'm always feel like I'm behind with apps. You know, I'm always trying to get to learn kind of what kids are doing. So I've tried to figure out what like Kick and those other kind of apps that kids are using that I'm not really aware of because I'm old. You know, I use Twitter and stuff like that. But I'm constantly always trying to get updated on the social media that the kids in my building are using.
There's this great new app called Facebook. It's all the rage right now.
Yeah. I heard that's pretty cool.
Your parents may even be on it.
I know, but that's the hard part. Is that I know that the kids in my school don't use Facebook at all.
No, mine don't
use it at all because they never want to hang out in the same spaces that their parents do.
Keegan's talked about that too. Whenever we talk to you, Keegan, you've talked about that.
Yeah, no one uses Facebook.
So Keegan's a senior in high school, and no way, huh?
Yeah, not at all. Unless it's like my aunt posts something about me or my mom.
Do you guys use Kick up there and Snapchat? That's the ones you use, right?
We use Snapchat. Kick is usually for the younger kids. I don't know why. It just is.
Mm-hmm. And I know Snap's really big for the kids.
Yeah.
So just
Snapchat a lot.
Yeah. And Instagram is probably huge, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's just me trying to catch up to whatever the new apps are.
So you're also a connected educator, obviously. That's how we've gotten in touch with you and kind of followed you along over the last year. Can you tell us a little bit about that kind of journey and just how you got started with being connected?
Sure. I was actually in an educational leadership program for my master's to earn my principal certificate. And the place where we'd always go, it was over the summer, and you know, it's 4 days a week, and you take these classes. And then I saw that Friday or that Thursday, they were having this thing called Educational Leadership Camp or Ed Camp Leadership or something like that. And I had never been to an Ed Camp. I didn't know what one was. I knew that I wanted to eventually become a leader in a school, so I thought I'd just go. And I went. I didn't register. They let me in the door anyway. It was very nice of them. And I was sitting there through one of the conferences, and then it gets done, and I'm talking to the guy next to me, and he's like, "What's your Twitter handle?" And you had to, like, make one actually there. So I made one real quick, and I gave him my Twitter handle, and I said, can I get yours? And he politely explained to me how it works. He's like, I'll follow you, then you'll get mine. And that was Jason Markey out in Illinois, and he came all the way to Jersey for this thing. And so he was my first follower. And it was really cool the way it worked because at this session that I just went to last minute, it was all these people who I respect now so much, like Brad Curry was there and Joe Mazza was there, and all these people who, once I left there and I got onto Twitter and I saw everything they were doing, I had that instant feeling of I'm drowning. Like, I can't believe there's this much stuff out there. And I know that, have you guys thought that way where
absolutely.
You're on Twitter, you just are overwhelmed with all the information that's out there?
I just had this conversation with a coworker at school, I think it was yesterday, about Todd, and we were just talking about how, like, Todd seems to truly see, like, every single thing posted in his feed, like, he'll respond. It's like, it's truly, he literally must be glued to the phone nonstop.
I will say, I have gotten to the point where I have a couple friends that are like, you didn't share my stuff. And that was a really good post, or you didn't do this. And I'm like, it's to the point now where you've got to tag me in it for me to really see it, because my feed moves so often that when I glance at it, I see a couple things. But it's like, if you really want me to see it, you got to tag me, and then I'll look, and I'll respond, and I'll interact, and I'll do that kind of stuff. But yeah, but I'm always, my phone is on me all the time, and so it's easy for me to keep up with that kind of stuff. But it's kind of like another job at the same time. But I love Eric Schoeniger's quote that you told me. He was like, I'm not addicted to Twitter. He said, I'm addicted to learning. And you know, and that's kind of how I feel too, as I'm always hungry to be bettering myself, and Twitter is just a constant stream of information that it gets very overwhelming at times. And I've learned how to rein in what I can and can't do. But yeah,
I remember the first time when I actually got on Twitter to that point, where it's like, I felt like I was drinking from a fire hose where yeah. there's so much good stuff out there and there's no way that I could possibly consume it all.
Yeah.
I always kind of feel bad when I introduce people to Twitter because I feel like it goes in one of three ways. Either they kind of get it right away, which is unusual, or they put something out there and they feel like nobody's listening to me, or they get overwhelmed by the amount of information. So I'm trying hard to kind of model that for others, but it's hard because you guys know the first time you were on, it's overwhelming at times.
Here's the same person I was having a conversation with about Tosh. She says, you know, every time you tweet something, I always try to read it and respond thoughtfully. She's like, I just can't keep up with Todd, though. I can't read everything he posts. I was like, you don't have to. That's not the point. Like, don't feel like you have to read every single thing that someone, you know, posts on Twitter. If you do that, you'd slit your wrist by 8 o'clock, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Todd's got the whole. Todd probably like has tweets timed out to go, and he's super organized with it and everything
I've considered doing that because that'd be so much easier. But not yet.
He's ninja not like yet. That.
Yeah. This isn't about me. We need to talk about John. I don't like talking about me. I want to talk about John. Go ahead, Keegan. Your question.
Okay, but real quick, John. You said you are always looking for apps, and I want to recommend one real quick. And I think Chris will back me up on this. If you haven't heard of it yet, get the app 2048. Oh, it's the best game ever. It's amazing. Consume your life, but it's incredible.
Yeah. So it's a huge time suckage kind of app.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's kind of math. It's mathish, right?
Okay. It's mathish.
Yeah. Exactly. It's definitely a game, and not probably much learning going on, but.
It would be something fun to talk with the kids about that.
That's exactly right. They're all playing it.
Yeah.
Then I'm in.
Okay, cool. Now, I know you're also a part of the principal mentorship program started by George Kurus. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. It was over, I think, last summer. I saw George kind of tweet about a virtual mentorship program for administrators. And his basic idea, from my perspective, was that there's not a real mentoring program that goes on that's the same across the country or across the world kind of thing, where you might get a mentor, but that person's in your building, so you might like to have somebody else. And I didn't know what the year was going to hold for me. I didn't know whether I was going to actually have a job as an assistant principal. I didn't know whether or not I'd be teamed up with people who I work well with. So I signed up for it, and I thought, you know, worst that happens is I get somebody who's not that great and I can just throw them to the side. So I got Tony Sinanis, who just happens to be, you know, elementary principal of the year across the country, New York State principal of the year. So he's my mentor, which I'm so lucky to have. And that he's offered so much to me in terms of just always having an open ear for me to kind of pick his brain. Because, you know, he's been doing this for a lot longer than I have. I have 8 months. He's got like 8 years. So he's a great person to have. And I commend George for doing that, because I don't know how many people would be able to have somebody to go to if they were in a situation where they needed somebody to talk to.
Yeah, you hit the jackpot with that one. You'll get to pay that back in a couple of years with someone else then, hopefully. So.
Yeah, I'm grateful to George and Tony.
Yeah.
Well, I've already told John that he's going to be helping me out, so I hope he's ready for that.
I was telling Todd, I'm like, this is the best mentorship kind of thing you could have, is to do this show, because you basically call on all these people who are, you know, the giants of administrators, and you call them up and you kind of pick their brain, you put them on your show, and then that's great. You have this wealth of knowledge to kind of start your new career with. That's awesome.
And it's recorded, so you can always go back to it.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead.
So, John, you've been out of the classroom for almost a year now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously there's going to be aspects of the classroom that you miss. What do you miss most about being a classroom teacher?
Probably the connection with students. Being an assistant principal, I have the job of being the disciplinarian in the school. So most of the time when kids get called in to see me, they're scared. They didn't do something good. They're, you know, kind of depressed. So I don't get to always highlight students doing something great. So what I've tried to do the last half of the year since January is I've tried at the end of every week to call down students to tell them something great that they've done. I try to look at the grade reports. I try to talk to teachers and see what students have done really, really well. And I'll call the students in and tell them, like, do you know why you're here? And they kind of sit nervously, like they don't know why they're there. And then I tell them the good news, like, you're here for something really great. And then I have them, either I'll call or I'll ask them if they want to call their parents and just let them know why they're in my office. And it worked out really great one time because there was this girl who went up in math 10 points every marking period. And I said, so who do we need to thank for this? Do we need to call mom? Do we need to call dad? And she said, we need to call my brother, because her brother had been helping her at night with all her work. So we called the brother, and I said, where is he right now? And she said, he's in high school. I said, is he going to pick up his phone in the middle of class? Because if that happens, I'm going to wind up in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, really.
The assistant principal calling somebody in class. But it picked up to his voicemail, left him a nice message, and he came home that day with a bunch of presents for his sister because he'd been working so hard and she'd been working so hard. So I'm trying to do things like that to make those connections with students, because I miss those in the classroom. I miss those connections with the students. And I have better connections with teachers than I did as a classroom teacher, but those connections with students I want to try and make more positive.
Cool. Yeah. Now, is there a moment in your career where you look back and there's something that you're just really proud of accomplishing?
There's not like one moment. I think for a lot of people that I talk to anyway, it's lots of little moments. Like I feel like the big change that I've seen happen or that I've been proud of have been lots of little things along the way. Where I can kind of look back with a student and see the amazing progress that they made. Or, you know, you might get a call from a student who's graduating from high school and they want you to be there at their graduation because you spent a long time developing those relationships with the kids. So I know that for me, building those relationships with either teachers or students or parents is the thing that's the most important to me. And, you know, you try not to let other things get in the way, like state testing week and, you know, all these evaluations where teachers are basically reduced to a number, which is garbage. And you try not to let that get in the way and focus on the relationships. But that's what's been the most important for me.
Cool.
Now, John, if someone were to describe you using just three words, what are three words that you hope that they would use about you?
I hope they use enthusiastic instead of, you know, like too energetic. I have a high motor, so I hope they use enthusiastic. I think I'm pretty creative in terms of finding solutions to problems and passionate about what I do. I think that those are probably the three that I would hope that they would use.
You got any good books you're reading these days or any blogs that you go to regularly or
recommend
to other teachers out there?
Or
admins, yeah.
Yeah, there are lots of blogs that I go to on my reader, you know. Like Pernell is still, Miss Rip is still one of my favorites in terms of, you know, language arts. And I heard that she's going to seventh grade now, which is awesome for me because I'm a middle school assistant principal. So
cool. That
works great. I love going to her. I love going to George Karras's blogs. But Dan Meyer is a huge person for me in terms of math. He's awesome. But the books that I'm reading now, is I just got done with Eric's book, which was awesome. And now actually I have next to me Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last. He's the guy who focuses on the why, not the what. So that's a pretty good one that I'm kind of in the middle of right now. But I try to read books to keep up with the kids too. I just got behind on that. So I just read the Divergent, the first one, and I finished that last night. So I have something to talk with the kids about.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I was hooked. It's like Hunger Games, you know? I haven't seen the movies or anything.
See, I've read Hunger Games and loved Hunger Games, but I've heard about Divergent, and there's a teacher I was talking to yesterday that she was like, oh my gosh, they're the best books, you need to read them. I just haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, it's similar to Hunger Games, you know, you got a female star and everything like that, and if you're a young adult fan kind of reader, it's awesome. So I was definitely hooked.
I still haven't read Hunger Games or Divergent or seen any of the movies, but yeah. I feel like
might as well just skip them at this point, Keegan.
No, you have to read the Hunger Games trilogy. It is so good.
Read or see the movie?
No, read it. Read it.
The movies are really good to watch afterwards. They actually align fairly closely, but the Hunger Games books are so good.
I know that I got hooked on the Hunger Games because one of my students who wasn't a passionate reader, and we kind of made that bet that he could, that I could finish it before him. And he wound up finishing all three before I was done with the second one. So he was definitely hooked.
That's awesome.
I love the book Wonder, like I said before. I don't know if I talked about it enough, but that is my favorite book of, in terms of education and teaching and so many moral lessons. I am absolutely hooked on the book Wonder.
I told Tony about a book. You should read it too. Because of Mr. Turrupt. That book, my fifth grade reading teacher, my partner teacher, she recommended it to me to read because they read it with the kids. So good.
Because of Mr. Turrupt?
Because of Mr. Turrupt.
Okay. I'll check it out.
I promise you, you will love it. Be careful. You're going to tear up. I'm just warning you now.
All right. I'll read it alone. Nobody can see
that one. My reading teacher recommended Wonder and that one, and those two have become some of my favorite books after check those out.
That's awesome. If it's up there with Wonder, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Now, looking back like 5 or 10 years, what's a piece of advice you would give yourself?
Piece of advice I would give myself would be to try to have balance in kind of what you're doing, because I know, like you guys, I'm passionate about what I do, and it consumes you at times, you know, where you're all in it for the kids. And I'm so passionate about students and their well-being and learning and things like that, that sometimes you kind of get wrapped up in it and you forget to hit the pause button every once in a while. So if I had to go back and give myself advice, it would be to kind of hit the pause button every once in a while and relax a little bit. But I feel like right now is probably the most fast-paced change education has seen ever. I mean, in the last 5 years, if you guys, I don't know about you guys, but in New Jersey, it's been lightning speed in terms of the changes from the state and changes from the country. So I feel like it's a double-edged sword. I tell myself to slow down a little bit, but the changes keep on happening faster and faster. So you do with it what you can.
Yeah, for sure. What you know, we always end the show on what's something you're really passionate about in education right now?
For me, I'm passionate. My number one thing is what Todd talked about before, is kind of breaking down the walls that separate parents and teachers and students. I feel like we're all here for the kids. Every single person in that kind of triangle is here for kids. And a lot of times we don't spend enough quality time developing those relationships where I know when I was growing up, if I got a call from a parent, I was in trouble, or from a teacher, I was in trouble, because you know, teachers are going to call me if I'm in trouble, and I better hide real quick. And it's a shame that that's kind of my history for growing up with things, because I know that there is no better expert for a child than a parent, and there's no better expert in terms of education than the teacher. And so if we can just have those people connect in a more meaningful way, I think that we can do great things for the student. And so I'm really passionate about trying to break down those walls and to make learning more transparent for parents to see, and make it more transparent for the teachers to connect with parents, make it easier for them.
That's awesome.
Well, John, we want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you.
I have loved learning with you when you were in the classroom, and then watching your path to begin administrator. It's been awesome, and I'm just really honored to have you give up some of your time to talk with us today.
Yeah, I'm honored to be with you guys. You guys are rock stars, you know? I don't get to watch a show every single week, but I always make sure that I go back and grab at least a couple minutes of all the podcasts. And it's awesome whenever I have my energy level feeling low that I can come and watch, you know, really great, great people in the field of education on your show. So I want to thank you guys for that.
Well, awesome thing. Yeah, thanks. We feel the same way. Every time we leave here, whenever the guest drops off, it's always like, man, that was awesome. Like, let's go. I'm ready to go to school.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it is truly like that. I mean, and
yeah. Part of me kind of wishes we did these in the morning before school.
I know, right?
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. It's
a great driving to work radio show.
Yes, yeah. I agree. But for everybody listening, you can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ, and you can join the conversation with the hashtag EduAllStars. You can check out our website where we have all 44 podcasts on EduAllStars.com or EduAllStars.com/podcast. And you can also find all of these episodes on iTunes by searching out EduAllStars with no spaces.
Yep, and join us next Monday, April 28th, as we interview teacher Jeremy Heath at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then Monday, May 5th, we interview Vice Principal John Harper at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
We'd also like to thank Go Noodle for sponsoring the podcast for the next few episodes. And then they make a great product, and hope you go to edgeallstars.com and see how you can get your free account today. Just go to the show notes on this particular episode or Monday's episode with Deanna Jump, and there's a link right there. And click it and get a free account.
Thanks again, John, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.